Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into another episode of Prep Rally, talking high school sports for Northeast Mississippi. As we do every Wednesday, Brad here with Dalton, the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, can't ask for a better week. I love Thanksgiving.
Me too. I'll get a chance to eat some food, and then it's back to work tomorrow for me. You got to go help cover the Egg Bowl. And then Friday, of course, you and I have football games to cover, and we're getting down to the end of the playoffs. We're almost there. The North Finals. And, of course, the South Finals. We're concerned with the North Finals up here, of course. That's set for Friday. We got four teams left. We had a couple get eliminated last week, so we're going to look at those games last week. We'll look ahead to this week's big matchups. And we got a little basketball to talk about. We'll have Athletes of the Week. We got a lot to cover, and I know y'all are probably already distracted by what you're going to eat tomorrow, so I'll try not to keep y'all too long here on a Prep Rally. Just a reminder that you can access this show on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Okay, let's quickly look back at last week's results, Dalton. I was in Calhoun City, the reigning 2A champs hosting Philadelphia, a very good Philadelphia team, came in with just one loss on the season. And I don't know, I think maybe some people saw Calhoun City as a bit of an underdog, even though they're the champs. But they took care of business, took the lead early. Philadelphia rallied. They've got some really good athletes on that team. They used three different guys at quarterback, and they had a really good running back that was hard to bring down. But Calhoun City and that wishbone with JoJo Gray at quarterback and Trishon Cooper and Kashawn Parker at running back, they were just ultimately too much. Parker had a big game. Scored three touchdowns, had a couple in the fourth quarter, the go-ahead touchdown, and then one more score to give them a little bit of breathing room. Ended up with a 34-32 win. I had Parker with about 162 yards, I think, on the night. I think he carried it 30 times. He just wore down that Philadelphia defense.
He's been doing that as of late. I think it was this past week, like you just said, and then the week before that he had a big game. And then I covered him, you know, just a couple weeks ago. I think it was the last regular season game, and he had 144 yards and two touchdowns. It's just they've been really relying on him lately.
He's a workhorse. He's a big guy. He's hard to tackle. He just punishes people between the tackles. But they also got a good game from other guys like Devion Hull. I wrote a story about him in today's paper. A sophomore, plays a linebacker on defense. He's been a regular on that side of the ball. Has not been used as much on offense, but he had a big play in the first quarter. It was no score. The teams are going back and forth, and Calhoun City, by the way, turned it over, I think, four times on the night, including twice early. They fumbled away the opening kickoff and then lost on the second their second offensive play. They fumbled it away. But JoJo Gray found Devion Hull on a short pass, and he broke a tackle and went 75 yards for the touchdown. So I wrote a little bit about him today and some of those younger guys that they do depend on. I mean, they've got the seniors, Cooper, Gray, and Parker, but they've also got some younger guys like Devion Hull and Tukey Hill and some other guys that really are the future of that program, but also making stuff happen right now. So Calhoun City back to the North Final as it tries to repeat as 2A champ. Starkville and Horn Lake, Dalton, you know, Starkville's offense has kind of done a bit of a disappearing act the last few weeks. They came back quite strong, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They had three touchdowns in the three games prior to this. And, you know, Horn Lake has a really good defense. So everybody was expecting this can be a defensive showdown.
Yeah.
But Starkville, they exploded there. The first play of the game was a 65-yard touchdown pass. It was a screen play that the receiver turned into a touchdown. And then the offense sputtered after that. They got to halftime. Right after halftime, Horn Lake tied it up 7-7. And then they just – something hit a switch.
Yeah,
they scored four touchdowns, three more passing, and one more rushing. But say, Cameron Hines and Cameron Gardner both had two receiving touchdowns. It was one long pass, one fade route, and then three screens that they turned into touchdowns, all 50 plus yards. So
yeah, and 35-7 was the final. So Starkville, going to the North Final, looking to advance to the championship game for the second time in 3 years. Of course, they won it all 2 years ago with Ricky Woods as coach. Chris Jones, now the coach, he won the 3A title for Kemper County last year. So He knows what he's doing there in Starkville. Oklahoma in 1A defeating Ray Brooks 34-22 was the final. It was a tough game, and Brooks is traditionally a strong program. And Oklahoma, I mean, that's what, 10 in a row. I believe the Chieftains on a roll, of course, as we've talked before. Lamart Harvey in his first year as head coach. Oklahoma in its first year back in 1A. I think they spent 6 years in 2A and had some struggles. But Oklahoma is back, it looks like, and a nice win there. Jacob Buchanan, the quarterback, had a good game. I think he accounted for – how many touchdowns did he account for? Several.
I don't know.
Three or four. He had a good game. And so they get the pleasure of hosting Simmons this week, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Yeah, Simmons is pretty good. Other results from Friday, West Point went over to Grenada. Had a little tough – had kind of a tough time of it, Dalton, but they got the win 32-13. But it was kind of close for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 12-7 in the second quarter, and then Marcus Murphy gave them all they wanted. And he broke out for a touchdown run, and then I think he had a 92-yard touchdown run later that kind of put the game away for him.
Yeah, I think he ended up with three touchdowns. That was the closest anyone has played West Point. They had a 20-point win, I think, over Louisville earlier in the season. But that's now, I think, 26 consecutive wins for West Point, the reigning 5A champ. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah. They're going to face Olive Branch again. We'll talk about that matchup coming up here in just a few minutes. Buchanan, by the way, he had three TDs rushing, so also made an interception on defense.
It's an impressive game.
Yeah, so Oklahoma quarterback / defensive back. Two other teams were in action from the area last week. Houston in 3A lost a tough one to Yazoo County, 26-20. That one came down to the wire. And then Corinth went to Noxubee County, and the Warriors' Cinderella run ends with a 43-13 loss. But a nice job by Todd Lowry and that group to get Corinth that deep into the playoffs. So that's just a quick recap of last week. Now let's look ahead to this week. We've got some very interesting matchups. We've got a lot of rematches, Dalton. We've got, of the four games, three of them are rematches. Starting in 6A, Starkville hosting Madison Central. The Yellow Jackets beat them in the regular season, I think 14-6. They're division opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Starkville ended up winning that division. Madison Central came in second.
Sure did.
And, I mean, it was a defensive game whenever they played, and I'm not sure if it's going to be again right now. I know Madison Central's kind of stepped up over the past few weeks. Offense has been clicking well, and then if Starkville can do anything like they did last week, you know, it could be a offensive showdown. But I would imagine Madison Central probably won't let a lot of those screen plays go for long touchdowns. Probably be another close battle, you know, low scoring, 21-14, something like that.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, Starkville trying to get back to the 6A title game for the second time in 3 years, so we'll see if they can keep the offensive offense rolling like it did last week. In 5A, West Point gets to play Olive Branch again. Again, division opponents back in the regular season. Now, going into this game, both were undefeated. Olive Branch looked like they were back after going 0-11 last year. And then in 6A, they've been 6A forever. They dropped down to 5A, so you figure they're going to be tough to deal with. Got a new coach. They're having a great year. West Point just took them to the woodshed.
51-7.
I was actually, when I did that big story on Chris Chambliss in the program a couple of weeks ago, I forget which player I was talking to, but he was like, yeah, we really thought it would be closer than that. We were surprised ourselves at how badly we beat them. So Olive Branch has a chance at redemption here. Dalton, and you know it could be a closer game this time.
It could, you know, it is tough playing somebody twice, and you know, Olive Branch, after getting whooped like they did, they're probably gonna come out with a little more on, try to play a little close. I saw some predictions already out in the Twitterverse that was about 27-17, 24-17. I don't think it's gonna be that close.
Who knows? I think West Point maybe had its bad game last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Coach Chambliss is going to get some things straightened out. And those guys are pretty easy to motivate, it seems like. So, West Point at home against Olive Branch in the 5A North Final. 2A, Calhoun City gets to face Winona again. That was the only team to beat Calhoun City in division play, 31-20. So Calhoun City looking for some revenge. And, again, I mentioned Davion Hall and those other guys. They've got the weapons to do it. Now, the last game they played, I think it was
31-20.
Yeah, 31-20. I think it was Parker who got held in check, relatively speaking. Did not have a big game against Winona. And I was talking to the wanting a coach the other day, and you know, he's like, yeah, it's tough to play a team a second time, especially a team with all those weapons. But, you know, he said, you know, we tackled well. He thought that was a big thing. They really did a good job of tackling. He said you got to have good eye discipline, which you do, especially when they run that wishbone. He said maybe that was lacking at times, but when they went to tackle ball carriers, they got him on the ground. And that's what you got to do. And that's not easy, especially with a guy like Parker, mm-hmm. to get him down on the ground. So Winona looking to make its first ever trip to the championship game.
The thing about this one to me is Calhoun City just seems to get better and better each week in the playoffs. And if you'd have told anybody basically in the state, you know, Calhoun City and Winona would be in 2A North, I don't think they would have believed you because of how well Philadelphia and Scott Central were playing.
Yeah, and Perry Lyles, I mentioned that after the game. He's like, you know, are people talking about that division being pretty good? Well, look at our division. Mm-hmm. And now it's Calhoun City and Winona.
Calhoun City, you know, They have the weapons, but it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep up with that dangerous passing attack that Winona has.
Yeah, and I think Calhoun City's big key, really, and this was a problem last week. First of all, they had the four turnovers, and they had a lot of penalties. Penalties is what hurt them against Winona the first time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Calhoun City makes those mistakes again, they probably lose. If they can cut them out, I think they win. I think they've got plenty of weapons. I don't know who's more talented, but you know Calhoun City and what they've done year in and year out. And so Winona used to be a 3A school, by the way, but now in 2A. So it should be a good one, man. Should be a really, really good game. It's the one you're going to,
right?
I'll
be at it.
All the way to Winona.
Yep, it's going to be a fun one, hopefully.
Fun trip.
Yeah.
Hour and a half drive.
Yep.
I'm going to West Point, by the way. Not quite as far. So that's the 2A matchup. And in 1A, Okolona with that 10-game winning streak.
Whew. Against Simmons, what do they have?
Hollandale Simmons,
a long win streak.
Yeah, Simmons has won. I didn't realize this till I looked. They used to be 2A years ago. They were 3A. Mm-hmm. Then they were 2A for a long time, and they've been 1A since 2015. This is their third season in 1A. They have not lost a game as a 1A team. 38-0, two straight state championships. 13-0 this year. I mean, the numbers are just astounding. They're giving up like
3.23 points per game.
Yeah.
They've only allowed two teams to score on them.
Yeah, and one of those was South Delta, which was a 2A team that made the playoffs, and they scored 36 of those points, and they gave up 6 points to someone else. And that's been it.
Yeah, they have a lot of common – not a lot of common opponents, but the three common opponents that, you know, Okolona and Simmons have are McAdams, Brooks, and TCPS. And McAdams, Okolona beat 39-0, and – Simmons beat them 34-0. Then the other ones,
yeah.
Simmons blew out Ray Brooks and TCPS, which Okolona both played close. So yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens here.
Simmons has pitched 11 shutouts this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got a turnover margin of +17.
That's crazy.
They've got 20 interceptions. They've got a linebacker, Amos Robinson, who Lamart Harvey, the Okolona coach, just was raving about him and. And Wade Tackett, the Simmons coach, also was raving about him. He's like, how big is he? 6'3", 225, and he can cover the field. And coach, the Simmons coach, Tackett, was like, he's never seen anybody that size move that fast laterally, mm-hmm. sideline to sideline. Now, Okolona's got some athletes. They got Jacob Buchanan, a quarterback we mentioned. They've got a good offensive line, got some big guys up there, and maybe can open some holes, but, I mean, Simmons' defense is just like another whole nother level. I don't want to say Okolona doesn't have a chance, but I'm not sure Okolona has a chance. I'm not sure anybody does.
And it's funny that you're raving about the defense and you know how great the linebacker is, but you kind of forget that you know they have Mr. 1A football on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, yeah,
well,
that guy.
Probably both sides, but
yeah, Marquez Pam, yeah, that guy, 1,800 yards, 1,802 yards rushing, 34 touchdowns, and I think he does play defense. A little bit. I'm not sure how much. Although Lamart Harvey was telling me, I was watching on film. I didn't see him on defense, so maybe that's good. Because he's so busy getting it done on offense, they may not need him over there. I mean, they've got playmakers at pretty much every position. Lamart said he didn't see any weaknesses with that defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you throw 11 shutouts, there's probably not.
Not many weaknesses.
South Delta, the only team that's had any success offensively against them. And I had the numbers. They had a good game rushing the ball. Now, there are some other teams, and this is not surprising but interesting. A couple of other teams that played Simmons on max preps, they had like really good rushing totals. I was talking to Wade Tackett. He's like, no, South Delta's the only team that had any success offensively. No, those other teams did not. people are fudging stats. You'll be shocked to learn. We know that happens with tackles. Okay, ain't nobody having 180 tackles. There ain't no kid in the state that's got 180 tackles. Mm-hmm. Okay, go look at West Point stats. I'm pretty sure they do tackles right because nobody has 100, and that's a good defense. Mm-hmm. Okay, but some teams apparently really, really fudge the offensive numbers, which is a problem. In fact, Wade Tackett's concern is it can really affect postseason awards because people just look at numbers and like, oh, this kid's got 180 tackles. He doesn't. No. But his coach says he does.
If he's anywhere within 5 yards, he gets a tackle.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so stat keepers at the high school level, well, I don't know what to say about it. It's just they need to do better and be more honest about that kind of stuff. That sounds like a column or a story I'm going to do at some point in the future. In fact, Wade Tackett said he's contacted Max Preps about having like a system where the coaches check off with each other on stats and so they agree with each other, the stat keeping. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. So, but anyway, Simmons going to be at Okolona, and so we'll see if the Chieftains can hang with him.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your matchups for this week. The North Finals, four area teams in action. We'll have full coverage, of course, in the Journal and at djournal.com. Real quick, basketball going on this weekend too. If you're into hoopage, I know it's still playoff time for football, but we got the Lighthouse Thanksgiving Classic Friday and Saturday in Corinth. It's become the biggest event probably in the state, really. Biggest basketball showcase because we've got local teams like Ashland and Holka and, of course, Corinth. Some other teams from the area like Olive Branch and Columbus with Robert Woodard, the MSU commit. But they've got a lot of teams that are on the national scene that are highly ranked. Teams like Sunrise Christian out of Kansas. You've got Aspire Academy out of Kentucky, Prolific Prep out of California.
I think they're ranked in the top 10 in the nation, actually.
I believe they are. And the way they have it set up, they pick basically the four best teams and have them play a semifinal on Friday. In this case, it's Aspire Academy against Prolific Prep and then Sunrise Christian against Believe Prep from Tennessee. They'll play at 6 and 9, respectively, on Friday. And then the winners, I guess, will meet Saturday afternoon. So we've got a total of, 17 games? Something like that?
I'm not sure.
Math is hard. I can't count that high.
There's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games, starting at 9 a.m.
And go until both days. 9 to 10 every day?
Well, they'll probably get out of there by 11 or 12 at night.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games. So, yeah, go check it out. You'll get your money's worth at the Lighthouse Classic there. Also, some news, Dalton. We've got one of the area's better players from West Point. Austin Crowley is leaving West Point, isn't he?
He is. He is going to Sunrise Academy. Sunrise who's playing Academy. In the Lighthouse Classic.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be playing now, in that. I don't know how recent this was.
I don't imagine he would. I think he just announced it Monday. If he's playing, that's impressive.
Yeah, he's probably going to have to be a little while before he gets to suit up with them. I don't know how all that works. It's one of those prep schools or whatever that elite players go to. And so tough loss for West Point.
Yeah, I got to watch him a couple of times last year when I was stringing, and he's good. He's probably 6'5", 6'6". He's a pretty skinny guy, and he just plays that guard position, and he can. Basically, if he throws it up, it's going in. I think he averaged 24, 25 points last year, and he can score at will. So it'd be nice to see how he's going to do it, I guess, a prep academy school where it's just nothing but talent.
Yeah, exactly. So Austin Crowley leaving West Point. Okay, let's wrap up the show with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female Athlete of the Week, Hannah Campbell, New Site Basketball, back on Thursday. She had 29 points. She knocked down 4 3-pointers, had a couple of assists, a couple of steals, as a new site beat Choctaw County 65-35. And so that's the last game they played. A lot of teams are off this week. We've got a couple of tournaments that we've had going on. Plus, of course, like I said, the Lighthouse. Male Athlete of the Week, Malik Brown, the quarterback for Starkville. We mentioned the Yellow Jackets getting back on track offensively. He was a big reason for that. Completed 14 of 18 passes. 220 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception in that 35-7 win over Horn Lake. So congrats to Hannah Campbell and Malik Brown, your Athletes of the Week. That's it for this episode of Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday. Find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Of course, we're on Twitter, at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there, at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there, at Brad Locke. So that's it. We'll be back next week. I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. Go out and watch some football or some hoopage or what have you. And we'll see you next time.